Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I'm Kenneth Amadurian, and we're doing another crypto interview today. Somebody who we've talked to at a very timely moment earlier this year, back in January, you know, in the $3,000, $4,000 crypto Bitcoin range. And sure enough, following that, we saw this epic move higher. You know, Bitcoin approached $14,000. And we've been in quite the correction phase since that $14,000 mark was hit. I got Doc Severson on the line with me today, and he's with ReadySetCrypto.com. He has got a premium site if you want to learn about trading. He's all about teaching people about derivatives and options. He's somebody who understands crypto, but understands trading, somebody who doesn't get caught up in the minutia of, you know, the religion of crypto, but someone who just wants to make money in the space. And I think all of us can connect with that. Without any further ado, Doc, thanks for coming on Crush the Street once again with me.
Oh, it's great to be here, Kenneth. It's good to see you again.
I'd like to start off with kind of where we are right now. You know, I feel like this backed news, the underwhelming debut, you know, minimal trading that happened on this future exchange, kind of underwhelmed the market. You know, Bitcoin was at $10,000, kind of sitting there nervously. And then we kind of had this news come out, underwhelmed the market. And that's when we saw the floor fall out from under Bitcoin. So what are your thoughts on what we're seeing at the moment?
Well, markets always price in the news to the moment. So it wasn't as though the market didn't know that BACT was coming on board, but what was priced in was a positive outcome from BACT coming on board. A positive outcome meaning that a lot of institutional volume was going to be driving the price. And I kind of looked at that for the past couple of months and said, you know what, I don't think that we're going to get an upside breakout from this. In fact, most of my YouTube videos over the last couple of months have been like, guys, this is in a symmetrical triangle pattern. It's supposed to break to the upside. I think that we're going to get a downside break and it's going to go down to 8,000. And it wasn't exactly a popular opinion at the time, but this is the way that price moves. Price has got everything priced into it. You know, markets are very efficient. They understand around the world with the information that we have, everything to the second. So the price that you see today, right now, has got all known available information baked into it right to the second. And so if BACT comes along and it doesn't exactly explode the market, then the market has nowhere else to go but down. And that's exactly what we saw.
So by comparison, the CME, you know, some 4,099 Bitcoin futures contracts traded on just Friday alone. And, you know, I think last week, since the debut of BACT, only 623 Bitcoin contracts traded. So again, you know, a very underwhelming number, especially compared to, you know, what the CME is doing. But obviously, that's been around for a little while longer. But what I wanted to ask you about is in the CME, the settlement happens in cash. And on the BACT, you know, this is something that they pride themselves on where, you know, a physical delivery, whatever you want to call it, of Bitcoin, it needs to be supplied on the delivery. So is this something that should be noted in terms of, you know, why we may not see as much volume take place on BACT as we would on the CME?
No, to me, it's a huge red herring. I think if you want physical delivery of something, what you do is you sell options to get there. I don't know of anybody apart from airlines that are using physical or maybe even, you know, farmers that are using physical delivery of a futures contract to hedge something like that. I mean, nobody does that. Everybody just buys and sells futures contract as a fungible liquid item. You sell options if you want physical delivery of something at a certain price. So to me, like, a part of it was just this red herring about that was, I think, completely overblown. The other issue, though, with BACT is that you and I can't get on it right now. You and I just can't log on to BACT.com and, like, open up an account and start trading there. So they've intentionally set this up as an institutional instrument. right? So institutions have to apply to get connected with BACT. But for retail to trade their contracts, it has to be offered through like a TD Ameritrade or a Fidelity or a Schwab or like one of the super brokers that are in the United States as an offering to retail traders. I mean, I talked to TD Ameritrade last week and I said, when are you going to offer the backed contract? And they're like, well, we're looking at it and it might be a long time. So they've kind of cut themselves out of the retail pie, as little as that might be. But evidently CME is, you know, it's a competitive product versus CME right now. And it takes a while to build up that demand.
Sure. Well, it's definitely interesting. I mean, I was speaking to a money manager last week and asking him, you know, are there ways for him to get his clients into crypto? And, you know, there's not really that many ways to go about it. But you got to imagine if you're bullish on the fundamentals of Bitcoin, that this is going to happen to larger degrees going forward here. And one of the questions that I wanted to ask you here is, you know, what is the price telling you? The fact that we are at, you know, 8,000 plus Bitcoin, we've seen $14,000 Bitcoin, you know, $20,000 Bitcoin. What does this tell you about the fundamentals or the future of cryptocurrency? Is this viable? Is it developing? You know, what does this mean to you?
Well, if you want to look at how the market thinks about any specific asset, you look at the price chart. You look at the price chart on a daily chart, weekly chart, monthly chart. And right now what it's telling us is that a lot of these little projects that were out there, or we call the altcoin market, the market doesn't believe in them right now because they're in a protracted bear market. They have not really popped up anything at all. And especially if we're using Bitcoin as reference currency to trade it against, you know, that's put even more pressure on those coins. It's almost like the same forest fire that occurred back in 2002, where the tech market just got taken out behind the woodshed and whacked. And the whole point there was to say, okay, here's the forest fire, let's see what grows up from that. And so, of course, we got Amazon, we got Apple, we got, you know, Facebook eventually came out of there. Even Priceline came out of that, you know, and became huge successes from that. So basically, it's the market saying, you know, look, prove it to me right now. And the one thing that the shining star has been Bitcoin to this point, you know, where it has, risen from the ashes, you know, up to 14,000. Right now, it's going through some price pressure. There's no doubt of that. And I think this may be still the final act of the major consolidation period that started in December of 2017. So I do believe this is going to lead to a higher low, a larger time frame higher low, and it's just one more shakeout. The market loves to get everybody on one side of the boat and then shift the wind over, knock them all over on board, and then it will trend. Markets exist to separate the greatest number of retail traders from their cash.
My goodness. Yeah, that's so true. We were talking about that in the pre-interview here and how, just how brutal markets can be and really wash and rinse investors. So one thing that you alluded to, you didn't say this exactly, but when we were talking about what Bitcoin did in the announcement of the backed futures and, you know, the commencement of trading is people buy the news and are supposed to buy the rumor, sell the news. Okay, so up until now, the halving event for Bitcoin has been a very epic time for crypto. You know, the supply goes down, demand up, all these different things. Now, we have the halving event approaching us in May of 2020, I believe. And so having the fact that the market knows what to expect based on what we've seen the last few times, I mean, is it reasonable to think that it's going to happen again the same way we've seen it happen in the past? Or is it going to get priced in early this time?
I don't know the answer to that. I think the only thing that we can look at is we've gone through a recent event with Litecoin, for example. So Litecoin had a recent halving event, didn't it? And I don't know what the date was, but we had a nice run up to that. And then it just took a complete dump right afterwards.
Very underwhelming.
So, So yeah, exactly. So we may be anticipating, but for those people that think that it's going to rally up until May 2020 because of this, you know, usually markets have a way of anticipating things well before they actually occur. So yeah, if we recover from this point and start making higher highs and higher lows above 10,000, then this is going to be part of the halvening effect towards this. But I would anticipate that that rally would stunt itself well before May and form another heavy duty consolidation period.
So, and you alluded to this as well, you know, alt season being over. You know, in the past, we've seen Bitcoin move higher and then it starts to spill over into the alts. And, you know, we have this expectation on what is to come. And you also alluded to what happened in the dot-com bubble. You know, eventually it was just over for a lot of the speculative projects. So maybe touch on that again here and just reiterate what you were saying. What are you expecting to happen in the altcoin arena?
Well, this is not a very popular opinion. I'll say that right off the bat. But again, the price charts are telling us everything that we need to hear right now is that the supply is above demand. And it's quite that simple. So unless we start to see something, and what I always tell people is don't buy anything again. So every time a daily candle comes up on an altcoin, and these are false rallies because a Bitcoin drops and the altcoin stays steady, then you're going to see a green candle on the altcoin versus BTC pair. False rally. So a lot of people are like, oh, there it is, there it is. And it's, no, it's not. So wait until you see a weekly uptrend with higher highs and higher lows on the weekly chart. Buy stuff that's heading higher. So a lot of people, the problem with a lot of people right now is they're holding way too many bags. They heavily invested on the way back down. They did buy the dip, buy the dip, buy the dip all the way through 2018. And they don't understand from Paul Tudor Jones that average losers. So that's something that we learned from the equities market a long time ago is like, buy stuff that's heading higher. Don't try to average down unless you think that you know the future. So the answer with the altcoins is, I don't know where the bottom is of these things. I don't know if we'll have it, but it's unlikely. It's like people, you know, we see the same cycles happening over and over again, right? So we saw all this massive rally in the tech bubble into 98, 99, into early 2000. And then people spent the next 10 years looking for 1999 again, and it never showed up. It took about 20 years for it to show up, right? So we've got the same bunch of people, same type of investors looking for 2017 all over again, and their hopes being dashed on. Learn to watch the price. Learn to respect what the price is telling you. Buy stuff that's heading higher.
So one thing that we have in the equities market is a lot more history on how things trade. You know, and we have these relationships that show up, right? The, you know, like for instance, the Dow to gold ratio, or the silver to gold ratio for that matter. And these things have been observed for many years, and you know, people have made assumptions based on what things should be fairly valued at because of these relationships. Now, crypto has been only around for 10 years. Are we starting to see some relationships in terms of, you know, valuing crypto and based on the trading that you do and, you know, the markets that you watch on a regular basis?
For a while, we had a negative correlation between equities and Bitcoin. So Bitcoin's pretty much what I've been watching over the last 6 months because nothing else is quite honestly been worth watching as it continues to drip lower. So occasionally what I would see is a negative correlation, Bitcoin versus equities, but that hasn't held up over the last couple of months. Now, a lot of people are buying Bitcoin as a hedge versus they're convinced that the equities market is going to melt down any day now. We're going to go into this, you know, complete and epic, you know, just destruction of wealth. And the Bitcoin is going to be an incredible hedge against this. So Bitcoin's just going to rocket higher as everything else goes down. My caution to those people is learn from the crashes of the past And one thing that we learned from the 08 crash was that when it hits the fan, everything gets sold. And the reason for that is you've got margin calls, you've got redemptions, you know, you have to raise cash. You have to do anything and everything to raise cash right now, like before the closing bell. And you're going to look around at your inventory and say, what can I sell right this second? Everything gets thrown out the window when it comes to those types of markets. So if and when we do have an epic meltdown, Bitcoin will also take it into shorts during that time temporarily. Go back and look at what happened to gold at the end of 08. Gold got sold off just like everything else did. And then it turned and started heading up early. So watch for the things, watch for those things, those assets that come out of that, any forest fire that comes along. But don't go into this thinking that Bitcoin's not going to have a really, really bad week, just like everything else, though.
Yeah, well put. So is there any sort of metric that we can start to use, or, you know, and this is just an opinion, a speculation. So Bitcoin's market cap is, you know, $150 billion right now, as we're doing this interview here. Is there like a number based on how big some of the other markets are? I think gold's what, around $8 trillion, you know, the stock market's trillions of dollars. I mean, do you see this being a $1 trillion market at some point? And, you know, what does that say about the price of Bitcoin going forward?
Oh, that's a great question. I really haven't put any kind of numbers around what I expect it to be. You know, a lot of people have spent a lot of time lately, like putting numbers out there. Oh, by this date, it's going to be this much. And people love that sort of stuff, right? It's sort of like the popcorn of the media world. You know, it's like the junk food that's out there, you know, and John McAfee's taken it to one extreme, certainly. I don't really get into that type of, you know, postulation or what number it should be or anything like that. It's just, to me, I compress everything down into a fairly short time frame. You know, the longest that I'm usually holding anything is maybe 30 days or so. I do have some spot BTC that I'm holding out for, you know, just to see if it someday will reach 100,000 or whatever. But I usually compress things into about a 30-day chunk or less, you know, starting from an intraday up to about 30 days. And so I don't know what's going to happen, you know, beyond that level 6 months from now. I don't know what the market cap is going to be. As long as it's a tradable asset, then I can find ways to make money with it.
Sure. Well, I'm not going to argue with you on that. Completely agree. Doc, I'd like to give you an opportunity here to share some closing thoughts. If there was something that you were hoping to get to that we didn't, please feel free to share it. But if not, please just share a little bit about your website and what you do and what you offer. I know you were at a conference recently. So please.
Okay, sure. Well, it's, we do, well, let me first talk about what I'm looking at here. So I looked at the 9,100 level on Bitcoin as sort of like the bottom floor for where things should be. And I felt that if we did drop out of the pattern, we would drop down to 8,000. So right now, I believe our trading range is going to be 8,000 to about 9,100. It's going to be stuck in that area. And I think that if you look at market history, to get a movement to the upside, you have to temporarily push things down. So to go forward, you have to go backwards first. One step back, two steps forward. So keep that in mind, is that you may see some shocking moves over the course of the next few weeks. I don't know how long it's going to take us for to shock people, but we've got to get too many people on the bearish side of the market and then get some institutional demand in here to kick this thing higher. Once we hit 10,000 again, I think this thing is off and running, and it could, it's got a tremendous amount of stored potential energy, and it could be an epic run, but it's going to come at a point where people have literally given up on the asset, period. And you'll find that with every major turning point, it's always darkest right before the dawn. So this is what I do. This, you know, I look at price charts. I'm not predicting the future. I just deal with what's in front of me. And this is based on my 15 years of trading markets, equity markets, options markets, futures markets, everything that walks or crawls, I'm out there trading it. So If you want to know more about what we do, you can go to ReadySetCrypto.com, or you can even go to, it is RSCNewsletter.com, RSC, Ready Set Crypto, newsletter.com for our free newsletter. If you want to sign up for that, just to opt in with your email address, and we don't send you anything other than a 5 times a week newsletter. So check it out, or come to our website and see what classes that we have. I have a number of master classes, most recently on options, which is a fairly new thing for the crypto world. And even us US people can now trade them. So that's all I have, Kenneth. I appreciate you having me on here at Crush the Street.
Well, thank you for coming back on the show. I'm excited to see what will happen going forward here. Obviously, our last interview was very timely, and I think all of them are always timely because we get to discuss what's going on and kind of get a perspective on what to expect going forward. So appreciate your time here with us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Kenneth. Look forward to the next time.